Hi, everyone. I'm Tyla, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And welcome to the workshop with myself, Tyla, and Josie. So glad that you're all here tonight, and how well the attendance has kept up. It's wonderful. And tonight I'm going to be doing step 10, and it's not a real long step, so we'll have plenty of time for sharing, because I want to hear your experience, strengths, and hope around how you work step 10 and how, you know, how it's been in your life. So let's get started with a meditation. And who would like to open us up with the third step prayer?
I will, Tyla. It's Marie.
Thank you.
God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life.
Thank you so much. Let's have a meditation. Would everybody mute? Thank you. Okay, so here we are at step 10. So one of the things I want to say about it is that, can you guys hear me okay? Is my volume all right? Am I too low?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, tell me if I'm too low. Let me just see what my volume is at. Okay, oh no, it's fine. Okay, so one of the things about step 10 for me, 10 and 11, is when I first heard and then got the honor to work with Mark Houston, what really was the most mind-blowing thing that stood out the most to me was the spiritual malady, the unmanageability, which I never had heard it before like that, and step 10 and 11. I don't know anyone that is more dedicated to doing step 10 and 11 than Mark. And you don't have to know him to or be with him, because he used to stay at my house. So I used to watch it and I used to see I never saw anything like it in my life. I never saw anyone. He would tell me the night before, he would tell me, don't knock on my door. He would get up at 5, and from 5 to 6, he would meditate, and he would have turn my coffee maker on so he could go get the coffee, but don't talk to me. Don't knock on the door. I mean, he was really serious about prayer and meditation and step 10, and he did it every day. And you guys, I never saw anything like that. I mean, I knew it, you know, I kind of knew it, and I kind of knew some of it from the big book and some of it from the 12 and 12, but I didn't really understand the mechanics of it. I didn't really understand how to live it, you know? So having that example for me was one of the main things that attracted me to what Mark was doing were those three things. So we're going to look at step 10, starting on page, let me just get this, starting on page, I got so many notes, sometimes it's hard to read it. Starting on page 84, okay? And sometimes people say, oh, step 10 is a redo of 1 through 9. I don't see that. I mean, there is stuff included in there, but I think it's a different kind of inventory, and I'll share about that. I want to go back to, are these extravagant promises, right? In the middle of 84. We think not. They're being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I think now, do I have to work to get the love of God? Do I have to work to get these promises? You know, because I did a lot of work already. All of us did, but that isn't what it means. It means working at keeping the channel that is now clear between me and God, keeping it clear. Because I'm never blocked from God, but I'm only blocked by my own delusions, my resentment, my fear, my dishonesty. So keeping that clear and keeping that out of my life, you know, is very important for me to live, Dan Sherman would say, mindful in the present moment. Step 10 is a right now in the moment step. Step 10 is between me and you. Step 11 is between me and God. They overlap, but that's a general look at it, okay? This is what I do when I go out into my day. I'm going to be working and living with step 10, okay? So let's get started here. Hold on. The thought they will always materialize if we work for them. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously, now there's that word again, vigorously, they use it in the four step, commence this way of living. What's the way of living? Cleaning up our mistakes as we go through the day, as we go through our lives, looking, they use the word continue, watch, ask, and turn. And Mark would take one of those words and he would put them on stickies and he would stick them everywhere. He'd have turn everywhere, or he'd have continue everywhere. He was a little obsessive, like some of us. Mistakes as we go along, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. I start step 10 and 11 with people sometimes from the very beginning, especially 11. I start new people in 11, but for the minute I finish doing 9 with them, they're doing 10. As we cleaned up the past, cleaned up the amends. That's what they're talking about. We have entered the world of the spirit. And that's a very good consideration. What does entering the world of the spirit mean to me? You know, entering the world of the spirit means that I've gone beyond the three dimensions. I've entered the world of the spirit beyond emotions, beyond thinking, beyond the physical. I've gone into the world of the spirit in a relationship with God where I can take that out into my everyday life. I can be operating from the world of the spirit rather than operating from the world of the physical plane. When I'm really, I don't do it none all the time, but I can see that I can do it more and more. Do you know what I mean? I can see when I'm kind of out of it, like I'm operating in fear and I'm operating in a place where I'm reacting more to the physical plane around me and or to the person in front of me that I'm having difficulty with, rather than taking that moment and being able to access the power of God within me, praying within, I ask, okay? We've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. My function is to grow in the understanding of God's will and my effectiveness in carrying it out there into my everyday life. How well do I carry the knowledge of God's will out into my everyday life? And, you know, so I don't always know, but I know that as I seek it, I find it more and more. Because as I seek it and as I operate in this step and in the intuitive thought from step 11, okay? This is not an overnight matter. Well, I think that's one of the most important lines. It's not an overnight matter, because I'll tell you something. I don't think very many people, I know that I really do work this step. It's really important to me because I want to be free. This step offers me freedom, and it's not an overnight matter. For me, before I was 12 years sober, it was kind of an overnight matter. I just kind of just didn't really put that much importance on it, because also the people around me weren't. And now I'm part of a fellowship. We're not really a fellowship. Now I'm part of a group, the BBA group, that this is important to us. And that's why Mark was so pushing on me to go quit complaining and go create the fellowship you crave. That's what he used to tell me. He said, I don't want to hear it, because I'd call and complain after I did the Big Book Awakening about how crummy the meetings were. He said, I don't want to hear it. Go create the fellowship you crave. Because I wanted to be around people that were pushing me spiritually, people that were growing spiritually. And that to me, it was important. And so now I have that, you know, and it's not an overnight matter, because I'm with a group that does that. It should continue. And, you know, they've already mentioned continue many times. It should continue for our lifetime. Twice they say the same thing in two different ways. It's not an overnight matter to continue for a lifetime. That tells me this is really important, that it needs to continue. And you know what? It's really important to me that this continues, because I don't always know how much of fear or resentment or dishonesty or whatever is, how much it's going to take to block me from the sunlight of the spirit. And if I'm not really working the step as I go throughout the day, turning, asking, continuing, as I'm going through the day, you know, every situation that I leave, I try to look back and see, how did I do there? How did I treat people? How do I owe an amends? You know, looking at it. Because then when I get home at night, most of the time, if I've done that throughout the day, I can go home as I come into my house. I can go home free. I'm not having a bunch of unfinished business in the way I treated people dragging behind me. Sometimes I do, and I pick that up in the nightly review and I straighten it out the next day. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, step 4, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Watching. And it's a good consideration. What is the difference between watching and waiting? It's good for you all on this workshop to consider that. Because we're watching, and I begin to become a place where I can watch my behavior, I hope, from a God consciousness. I can look down and see it in a way that is more objective, if that makes sense to you. When these crop up, not if they crop up, when they crop up, because these things will crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. That's a prayer. Anytime they say ask, God, please remove this resentment. God, please remove this fear. Please remove this selfishness. Please, you know, I ask God to remove it. I ask God at once to remove it. We discuss them with someone immediately, okay? Someone immediately, and make amends quickly. Step 9, if we've harmed anyone. So I'm doing my life, and let's say that I'm at a meeting, you know, and I bumped into someone. I've gotten into a disagreement with someone at a meeting before it starts, and, you know, and I believe that the person that God wants me to be. And I could see that I was in a kind of collision with them, and it wasn't healthy, and I don't want to be like that. So I turn to God. I ask him to remove my anger, remove my resentment, right? And then I turn back. It says here, continue to watch for selfishness. When these crop up, we discuss them with someone immediately. immediately and make amends quickly. The person I discuss it with, so many, and you're going to hear things that you may not have heard about step Dan, because Dan Sherman does it differently. And I believe that he's right on. The person I discuss it with is the person I harmed. I don't need to run out and call my sponsor when I've harmed someone. If I am in the world of the spirit, why would they then take me back to the world of the physical and go call your sponsor? Now, if you're brand new at this, you may have to do it at the end of the day. That's different. But the more and more that you get the hang of the mechanics of it, you don't have to do that. And I don't believe that it calls for me to do that, because it doesn't even make sense to me that I would have to leave my work or leave my job or go call someone, or I've just hurt somebody and I'm going to wait until the next day to make amends to them. We know intuitively when we've hurt someone. And now if we do something that's really a big deal, we may have to wait until we go home and discuss it with someone, you know, but most of the time I can discuss it with the person I hurt right there. And it says here, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them immediately with someone and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. And so I turn to God and ask him to remove it. I turn back to the person I harmed and say, you know what? I'm sorry I did that. That wasn't okay, you know? And I don't get into a long, usually amends, like a 9-step amends. You want to share with me how that hurt you? It depends on what happened, okay? Then we resolutely turn with purpose, turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So after I have that kind of an interaction with someone where I make an amends, and then I turn my thoughts to someone I can help, that someone I can help may be the person I just harmed. That someone I help may be another person in the office or another person at the meeting. It doesn't have to be a 12-step person. I don't have to run out. It doesn't mean I go out and do a 12-step call. I turn my thoughts. When you turn your thoughts to someone you can help, and it may be a sponsee, many times I'll think, you know what, when I get off work or I get out of the meeting today, I'm going to go call someone that I sponsor. And I've turned my thoughts to someone I can help. And that will lift your thoughts up. Lift my thoughts up to another realm rather than being so self-focused. I turn outward and see who I can help. Okay. Then love and tolerance of others is our code. And a code is what I'm going to measure my behavior by. If I have my doubts about how I treated someone, when I walk away from a situation, I can ask myself, was that loving and tolerant? Right? If I have a question, because that's a wonderful code to live by. And I want to live by it. And I can look at that at the end of the day, you know, and that's something I can look at before the day and at the end of the day. Was I loving and tolerant to all? And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. You know what's interesting about that statement? Alcohol's the third thing there. It's not the first. It doesn't say, and we have ceased fighting alcohol or anything or anyone. No, it says we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. I think if I'm fighting anything or anyone, I'm fighting alcohol. I get very concerned when I hear people say that alcohol is no longer my problem. It was my solution. I think that's a very scary place to be, because under any difficulty that I have in my life can be a drink. Resentful, cheating, dishonest, lying, fear, and at all those things get enough grip on me, they underneath that is a drink. Underneath cheating on my partner, underneath stealing from the boss, underneath that is a drink. And I need to be very aware of that. So they say we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So that is a result of where we're at. That is a result of doing all the steps, that 1 through 9, that I've ceased fighting anything and everyone. But it's also a code that I can use before I go into situations. I'm going to cease fighting anything or anyone. So that's important for me. For by this time, sanity will have returned. So here it is. This is the big bet. This is the big leap in step 2. Can God restore us to sanity? And they're going to talk again about it in step 11. We sanity has returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. Remember on page 24, Bill talked about continually putting your hand on a hot stove and burning it over and over again he relating that to what we do with alcohol. Now we recoil from it as though from a hot flame. Something's happened. I've been restored to sanity. Because when you really look at it, it becomes less about being powerless or power, and it becomes more about sanity. From a sane place, would I go score crack? From a sane place, would I end up in a liquor store today? So if sanity becomes a very important part, and I've been restored to sanity. Okay. I want to get to this page. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. So they're talking about our reactions. And if you go, I'll read it to you, but if you go to the spiritual experience in the back of the book, hold on, let me just get to it. The spiritual experience in the back of the book on page 567, it says, talking about our reaction to life, okay? Towards the bottom, it says, quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. And I love that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. So the way I react to life changes, and we react sanely and normally. We'll find that this has happened automatically. I didn't write inventory on drinking. I did a resentment inventory, a fear inventory, a relationship inventory. I didn't write inventory on alcohol. We will see that these promises are the 10-step promises. All of the 9-step promises came true when I drank. These promises never came true in my life. These promises I've never had. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. I like to put above given gift. It is a free gift. It has been given to me by the incredible mercy of God. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. I think this is the biggest promise in the book. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. Think back. When you were in your disease, think back when you were drinking and using. Think back. For me to ever imagine that I would not have that problem, that I could ever wake up ever and think that I wasn't the first thing I wasn't looking for as a dealer or liquor, that I could be free of it, that I'm not fighting it, that the problem's been removed. I mean, to me, that is absolutely miraculous. I could never, could you imagine it, Kimberly, that you, it would be gone. I could never imagine it ever. And I, every time I read these promises, I'm so touched, because sometimes I think, you know, the more time I have, I feel a little sometimes more distant from it, you know, and I don't want to, because to me, these are the most incredible promises ever. In this book. And I believe that the best, biggest promise in the book is the problem's been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Okay, there's something interesting right there. So it's telling me if I'm acting cocky and afraid, maybe I'm not as fit spiritual condition as I think I am, because it's now brought up the term fit spiritual condition, because this is about staying in fit spiritual condition. Okay. These maintenance steps, they're maintenance steps. Well, there's nothing I want to maintain. I want to grow. What it is, it's like watering my roses so they grow. I don't water them every day, right? Maintenance and watering them every day so they stay the same. I have to water my spirit by practicing these, by really living these and not just talking it and understanding the mechanics of it. Okay. So it is easy. I call these the easy promises. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. Laurels are like a racehorse gets the wreath around their neck. It's the award so far. Oh, I've done so good. I've done all my, I'm in my amends and I've done so good. And I don't really need to do the work this hard. It's the program. It's just too much work. I'm just going to take a break. Well, okay. We are headed for trouble if we do. Do I believe that? Do I believe I'm headed for trouble if I'm going to rest on my laurels? For alcohol is a subtle foe. Alcohol, foe means enemy. Alcohol is a subtle enemy. The reason that alcohol is a subtle enemy, because alcohol will not show up in my life as a drink. See, my ego by this time says, oh, no problem, Tyler. I'll let you know when you're going to drink. No biggie. We got this down. I mean, it's subtle, but the ego's there saying that sometimes, right? But the problem is that alcohol won't show up as a drink. I'll have a problem at work. I'll have a breakup in a relationship. I'll be lying, just little lies. They're not really big lies. They're just little lies. They're not that big a deal, right? And I don't think they're that big a deal. Every lie is a big deal that I need to run through this 10 and 11. But what I'm saying is that I'll have some difficulty in my life and find myself at the liquor store in a strange mental blank spot, picking up a drink or picking up a drug or just taking more of those pills than I'm supposed to take, more of my partner's pills that's taking some pain pills and I'm taking more of these or I'm taking more of that. It will not show up as alcohol because the ego says it will and it will not. Maybe sometimes it will, but many times I've worked with enough people to find people telling me, a girl I sponsored with 18 years, she got mixed up with some pain pills and she was in the liquor store and she called me when she got out of the liquor store and she had bought some of those little airplane bottle liquors. And she said to me, Tyler, I had no idea. I didn't even wake up to it until I was walking out of the liquor store. And that's that strange mental blank spot. And I believe that she had no defense because of her lack of program and what she was doing, and she was blocked. And I don't want to live like that. I want to live super connected as I can be to God. This is offering me that. I don't want to just not be in the liquor store. I want to live a powerful spiritual connection with my God that I can take into every area of my life. I want it to thrive. I don't want to survive. Okay. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. So we're not cured of it. So we recover. The book in the front of the book says we recover, that we're recovered physically and mentally. Okay. We're recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. It does not say we're recovered spiritually. I am recovered mentally and physically, always be recovering spiritually. It is not a done deal. I will always be growing in this area. This is controversial. This is Dan Sherman. This is what he taught me, and I believe it 100%. But you can have your interpretation of it, but I believe that's what it is, because that it goes with the book, okay? What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. A daily reprieve, a reprieve is a stay on a death sentence. My drinking and using was a death sentence. And I have a daily reprieve, place of safety, safe and protected. Isn't that what I always wanted? My whole life, I wanted to be safe and protected. It says it right there, and be able to be in a place of neutrality more and more. But I have this daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So it's telling me I'm not going to have this happy, joyous, and free life if I'm not willing to do 10, 11, and 12. And practice these principles in all my affairs. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision. There's a must. I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. I think all is the most important word almost there. Okay. Does that mean I'm supposed to carry God's vision when I'm doing the dishes? Driving my son? Driving kids? Taking a walk, whatever I'm doing, I'm supposed to carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. Oh, I don't know what God's will is, right? The more and more I seek it, the more and more I will know it. And God's will is all over this big book. Love and tolerance of others, that's God's will. unselfishness. Quit, cease fighting everything and everyone. That's God's will. So we can go all through the book and find a lot of God's will here. But if there are other things that I'm looking for God's will, right, I'm going to have to take it to prayer and meditation. I'm going to have to make a bet on it sometimes and just intuitively follow what I think it is. And the more and more I do that, the more and more that I will be seen, that I find that place of knowing it's God's will. But I'm going to make mistakes when I do it. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with me constantly. Am I taking those thoughts with me constantly? Am I saying, that's something I'm not. I need to say that more. God's will, not mine, be done. Thy will, not mine, be done. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. What's the proper use of the will? Doing God's will. Too simple? That's the proper use of the will, is doing God's will, right? So I can, it says that I can exercise my willpower along all these lines, all I wish. My willpower is, to me, what I want. And I can push that. I want what God wants for me. And I can exercise that, my willpower, along those lines, all I want. It's the proper use of the will. Trying to find out, what does God want for me? I want what God wants for me. What does God want for me in this situation there? Who does God want me to be? You know what? The fear prayer. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who is all knowledge and power. So those are some of the things I'm going to get from God. Inspiration, strength, direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, not suggestions, I have begun to sense the flow of the Spirit into me. To some extent, I have become God conscious. I have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. Okay, so you have seen in your fourth step, there are five senses: seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, and hearing. That all the decisions I made in my life were made on five senses. You were telling me the right thing, I was going home with you, right? Seeing, you looked good, I might be going home with you too. Seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. All of those five senses is where I made most of my life's decisions on. Now they're saying, no, you can develop this new sense, the sixth sense of God consciousness, and you can begin to operate like it says right here on the top of 55. Yet we have been seeing another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from this world. People who rose above their problems. These are promises. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release. We like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. So I begin more and more to operate from a place of God, not being God, but from a perspective of God, how God sees things. I begin more and more as I seek his will to be able to do that. I see spiritual release in my life, more and more the ability to rise above my problems as I'm in the arms of God, close to God, right there with God. When I'm in a difficulty with someone, you know, I more and more can step back within myself and pray. This is getting heated or whatever it is, and be able to see it from a different perspective, which is God consciousness. Remember, the most important, number one, bottom line of this whole program is the consciousness of the presence of God is the most important fact of my life today. And I want to keep it that way. Okay, we must go further, and that means more action. And that means step 11. So I'm going to open it up now for discussion. I know some of you guys work this step, so please feel free. to share? Who'd like to share? None of you guys work step 10? What the heck? Oh, there's Jessica Peanut. Joe, come on, Joe. Joe?
I'm here.
Okay.
Jessica, are you gonna share?
Hello, I'll Mom. Share. This is Marie. Oh, you got it. Somebody talking.
Go ahead, Marie. I'll share after
you. Are you sure? Okay. Tyler, that was amazing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that was amazing. And you know, it reminded me of, I've told you about this, but it reminded me of a time. It was before I got to BBA. It was right before I got to BBA. And I was just not in a good place, but I still prayed all the time. And I went into the grocery store and got into a frenzy with the checker over the price of an avocado because it was mispriced. And I made him walk back in the back of the store with me. I was just horrendous. I mean, I was so mean to him. And I got in my car and I felt so like I got him, you know, when I walked out of the store and I got in my car and I got a block away from my house and I heard, go back. And so I turned my car around and I went back and I heard, be humble. And I went in and he had nobody in his stand and his back was to me. And I walked up to him and I said, I am so remorseful about what happened. You did not deserve to be treated that way. And is there anything I can do to make it right? And he said, you know, I was really kind of blown, like, you know, taken aback. And I've never had someone come in and do this before. And so just you doing that is like all I could ask for. And when I walk in, and we didn't know each other that well. It's my corner grocery. I've lived here for 20 years. Every time I go in there now, he's like, hey, Marie. I'm like, hey, Jay. You know, and it was a power beyond me that helped me to do that, right? And I can do that if I'm not connected to that power. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine who I would be because I have been that way, not even drinking, but dry, you know, right before relapses, you know, and all of a sudden people I work with who love me and they think I'm great, all of a sudden they're like, God, she is, you know, complaining to the bosses. And so I just want to thank you, Tyler, for making it so clear. And I just want to say that, you know, I've been in some fear around some situations lately, and I really need to work on that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Who, Joe?
Sure, I'll share. I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic and addict. Hi, everyone. Tyler, thank you for sharing tonight. It's so good to hear you. We haven't heard you in like forever.
Thank you. Thanks for pushing me, Joe.
It's been like 3 weeks. I'm like, we miss our little Tyler. A little Tyler drug going on.
Thank you, Joe.
Hit a Tyler. Great job tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a few things that pop out to me every time I read this. And in step 10, it's, and you spoke about it already, and I'm just reiterating, that the new attitude had been given us without any thought or effort on our part, you know? And when I hear or I've even thought this before, it's like, oh, I don't have a drinking problem now, I have a thinking problem, you know? But I never even looked at drinking or drugging, like you said, I never wrote inventory on it. I never focused on it. It was, we attack stuff differently. So in the spiritual world, I don't attack things head on. Like I have this problem in front of me. I write inventory. I do the stuff on the side. I pray, I meditate, I turn to God for help with it. And then that problem goes away, you know? And so the problem that was the problem that's right in front of me never was really the issue. I mean, it is the issue, but like there was another issue going on, you know? And when I look at this with the drinking and the drugging, it's like everything was connected to my drinking and drugging. Because my whole life, I looked at everything. I looked at resentment. I looked at fear. I looked at my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my conduct in relationships. These things that had, I thought had nothing to do. Like, why the fuck am I writing inventory when I'm slamming meth? You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And it does now. Because all that had everything to do with, I put a needle in my arm. The difference, why I'm not like other people, I'm not like other people because I can't hold on to resentment like that. I can't live in fear like that because it will take me to the drugs and the alcohol. It will take me to a needle in my arm. And this is where I'm different than other people. And I hear people say, oh, you know, I wish everyone could have the program. Well, everyone doesn't shove a needle in their arm when they're resentful. You know what I mean? So like everyone's not like me. So they don't need it like I need, you know? And I can't live that way. And this just confirms that I don't just have a thinking problem. I have a drinking problem. I have a drugging problem. And my life will take me to drinking and drugging. And the way I live life will take me back there. You know, it's either taking me to God or it's taking me back. And that's kind of like what it boils down to. And okay. Slowly but surely. And like you said, like, it's not going to show up as drugs and alcohol. It's going to show up as the little ants in the foundation that are eating the foundation and the house tumbles down because of, well, the termites, you know, it's all about the little termites that did it. And I'm not paying attention to what's really going on, you know? So I love that part. And then inventory for me, inventory changed the way I viewed or the way I started to see. It woke me up, okay? Mm-hmm. It woke me up. So having written inventory woke me up to being able to see resentment in my life, selfishness, self-centeredness, my conduct, and fear, because now it was presented to me right in front of my face. I couldn't avoid the issue. I couldn't duck the issue. It was right there. And I wasn't so much, I mean, I knew I had it, but I didn't know to the depths I had it and how prevalent it was and how it was everywhere. That fear ran my life. I saw this in the fear inventory. So when this stuff crops up, it's very visible to me. You know, if it doesn't show up as resentment, it'll show up as fear. You know, and when I have a resentment, I know it's fear-based. And so this is where I'm practicing pausing and turning to God. The bet in 6 and 7, or the deal in 6 and 7, was I'm going to turn to God for everything. I'm going to go to God for everything. When these character defects crop up, I'm turning to God for help with it because I can't do it. Same thing with the selfishness, self-centeredness, resentment, and fear. And when it crops up, I'm turning to God again. This is opportunities for me to trust and rely on God. And that's what's going on throughout my day. It's me pausing, turning, and asking. Pausing, turning, asking. This is me building my relationship with God throughout the day, every day, when I'm conscious of it, you know, and I got to be conscious of it. And that's where it's a practice. It's not an overnight matter. It's a practice because there will be days that I'm going through my life and I haven't paused or turned or done anything throughout the whole day. And I recognize it, you know, I'm running in anxiety. I'm running on this. I'm running on fear. I'm running on resentment or what's going on. And I've never even paused throughout the day. And I'll have to catch myself sometimes, you know, or something crops up and this is the opportunity for me to make an amends right away. I talked to that person, right? You know, I was really an asshole and I can't believe the way I behaved. And I'm really sorry about that. You know, bam, it's done. What can I do differently? Or just an informal amends, you know what I mean? That I'm making on the spot. And this is how I'm continuing to live my life based on my inventory. And I see these things. I know these things as they come up. And I don't want to hurt people the way I saw that I hurt people in my life, in my inventory. I just don't want to live like that anymore. Like I don't. And this consciousness, this God consciousness, whatever you say, is a conscious, like I have a conscience now. You know what I mean? Like I've woken up and now I have feelings about how I hurt people. I have feelings when I fuck people over, like I feel bad about myself. You know what I mean? And I used to not feel that way. I used to not care about these things. And now I'm graced with that. And I believe that's God in my life. I believe that's me having a relationship with his powers. And now I have a heart about these things. I have compassion. I have empathy. I have sympathy. And like, these are things I didn't have as much before. And now I have them. And sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. Because sometimes I have too much of it, you know? But now that I have this, I'm going out and I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to live like that anymore. And so I'm apologizing, I'm making amends, I'm pausing, I'm turning, I'm doing these things because I want to be free of that and I want to stay free of that. So this is a never-ending step, you know, 10 and 11. They're not just the maintenance steps, they're growth steps. And I don't believe that this is taking the place of me redoing the steps again, because me going back through 1 through 9, I see it at a different level than I'm operating with on a daily basis. Because if I'm living in fear and I'm being directed by fear, and that fear is still driving me, I have to get to a point where I'm settled enough to recognize it. I think that's a process in the steps. Like the steps take me to a deeper level than I can get to just on a daily basis operating in my life, if that makes sense. Like I have to do an inventory of my life and see what delusions are in my life now, what fears run in my life now, you know, how well is my relationship with God now? Because I might have strayed from that, because the cash and prizes in my life that are given to me from this program have started to come in between sometimes my relationship with God and the program, you know, and I start getting sick of those fucking people in the meetings, and I'm getting tired of the meetings. They're getting on my nerves. They're not sharing the way I want them to share, you know, and these are those termites in that foundation. And I start separating myself from the program. I start separating myself from people, and it ebbs and flows. And this is what happens in my life. And it happened at a few years, 5 years sober, at 10 years sober, at 12 years sober. You know, I go through these phases of I'm done with the program, you know, and then I'm back full force. And that's just the way my life goes. And that's just being honest. So thanks for letting me share tonight.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Joe. That was great. Who would like to share? Just put up your hand or unmute or whatever you want to do.
This is Donna Tyler. I'd like to
say, hi, Donna.
Hey, hi, sweetie. You know, I'm always drawn to the 10-step promises. And, you know, August 5th, 2000 was when I was separated from alcohol. And I felt that miracle that the problem had been removed. A power had burst upon me that I had never felt before. And I knew that I never had to drink again. And the thought of a drink had never occurred. And I didn't come to AA right away. I was in a treatment facility that wasn't a 12-step program. And I got to tell you, because I didn't understand the power of alcoholism and alcohol, I didn't even think that not thinking about a drink was a big deal. I didn't even realize what a miracle that was in itself. The real fear was that I was still fighting everything and everybody. And that's where the problem was, because I was deathly afraid of leaving that treatment facility and how I was going to live my life. I'm very grateful that a recovered alcoholic like Dan Sherman that you talk about and Mark, that they were carrying this message and I heard it. I don't know how I was placed in their path so early on in my recovery, but I knew that I wanted what these guys had. I always say there's a joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice, practice, practice. Well, how do you get to God? You practice, practice, practice. This is not an overnight matter. We watch, and it's interesting because now we get to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I couldn't even tell when I was being selfish. I couldn't tell when I was dishonest, because it's crazy, because my perception of how I thought about myself was based on what I thought you thought about me. I'd lie all the time because I wanted you to like me. I wanted you to think I was this great big such a much. So I always lied. And I couldn't tell when people were angry at me. I just couldn't care less what they thought. It's crazy because I did it, but then again, I didn't. And the fear, so now it's so amazing that I can now see it. And so that pause, turn, and pray is real key. Like Joe said, sometimes I'm very conscientious about staying close to God. And then other times I'm just like moving through my day. I don't have to have the TV on to have noise in the room. I could Tyler, you mentioned washing dishes. I can wash dishes. And sometimes I even just say, I'm washing dishes. Like play around with being in the moment of washing the dish. I had a wonderful opportunity to go to Vipassana, a 10-day silent retreat. I didn't even think about, could I be silent for 10 days? And I went and I stayed for the 10 days. I don't know what day it was, but in Vipassana and meditation, you scan your body and you feel the body sensations, because the whole thought process around that is that feelings come and feelings go. We don't need to be attached to them. And I remember that I had been thinking about this woman who I had wrote a lot of inventory about, and her name came up. And I'm like, why in the hell am I thinking about Barbara on this retreat? But for the first time, my mind was so still that I heard in my heart that this woman was driven by her own ambitions. Her intent wasn't to hurt you. And for the first time, I heard that. And it felt like the anger and the resentment just dropped from me. And the Buddhists say that the body holds anger and pain. I kid you not, I felt like there were spears coming out of my body and there was pus oozing out of my ears. And I felt like I was looking like this, like all the stuff was happening, like being released. And after that, if you had mentioned her name, there was no reaction. There was like, if it felt like God had removed that problem. I'm just so ever grateful for this program, because I thought that alcohol was my problem. I didn't understand that. And Tyler, thank you for reminding me that we recover from hopelessness from the body and the mind. It doesn't say that we recover spiritually, and that's something that we have to continue to grow. So thank you, my love.
Thank you. Who would like to share? Helen, I see you. Hi, honey.
Hey, Mama Tyler. Oh my goodness, I so enjoyed the spiritual pouring this evening through you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And to the rest of the BB family on the call tonight. I am so full. I'm so full. Just a couple of things that really stood out for me tonight in the pouring. One was we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given, and you said above that to write that it's a gift.
That's right.
And the other one was when you talked about the five senses. And when I came in and coming out of the church, I would always say, you know, I was so grateful that this was a spiritual and not a religious program. And the gift is, you know, taking the course, going through all the steps so that the senses decrease and the sixth sense increases, which is the spirit, because they're so heavy, relied upon, that we don't even know that sixth sense is here. Like, I will always say, they taught me how to tie my shoes. They taught me how to dress, but they didn't teach me about my spirit man. They only taught me about my physical man. So that just really, really hit me tonight when you talked about the five senses, how everything we do, it was either how we saw it, how we heard it, how we felt it, how we smelled it, how we tasted it, and how it just drove us and drove us and drove us. But through the process and through the work, all that decreases. So now we can move with this sixth sense, you know, and how it guides us and how it protects us and how it talks to us and how it leads us. It is such a gift. It is such a gift that I don't have to depend on the physical, that I have gotten attached to this spirit, this sixth sense, that if I just be still long enough, you know, and how, you know, the pause, the turn, the breath, that I can really let him come in and be everything. That's how. That's how he becomes everything, because I'm the fixer. Oh, don't you know I got this? I know what to do and I know how to do it. I know how to be Helen dependent. But I don't have to be Helen dependent today. I can have my sixth sense God dependence today. I don't have to figure it out. And so I'm just so, so grateful. This workshop has definitely taken me deeper. It has definitely taken me further. And lastly, because of that sixth sense, I can feel when I'm off, because the spirit man doesn't like the way the flesh man acts out, you know, how he pops his little head up and wants to be seen and want to control and want to be ugly. And you can feel it. It's like Marie said, when she got almost home, she could feel that, you know, that was just so, so ugly. And, you know, the closer I stay to that sixth sense, the stronger that feeling is. That'll correct, that'll pause, that'll be like, hold on, that wasn't cool. And I love the way you said, when I get home, I don't have all that baggage that I'm carrying in the house. And I saw groceries. That's what I saw when you said that. I saw groceries that, you know, you're bringing in all these bags of stuff, but you can't feel it if you're not connected, if you're not working it, if you're not practicing, and you can't feel it. So I'm just so grateful. And Tyler, it was amazing, amazing tonight. So thank you guys for letting me
share. Thank you. Thank you. Who would like to share? Go on and raise your hand, unmute, shout out.
Hi, it's Natasha, alcoholic.
Hi, Natasha.
Hi, I'm going to share before Shawnee comes out of practice here. Great tonight. Oh, I loved it, Tyler. It was beautiful. And I loved everyone's share. And yeah, and step 10 is, I just had to share on step 10 because I love step 10. It's just, and I didn't always love step 10. Like, I didn't know it was a thing. I totally misunderstood it, because I just thought it was something that I did at night when I had a resentment or something like that, and nothing about what the book says. But it's like, I can practice that, like, as a practice. It's not an overnight matter, but now that I've been doing it for so long, it's just like breathing, you know. It's just like, I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't have resentment and I constantly am floating on air. It's like, but when I'm throughout the day and I find myself like ruminating on something, or usually future or past, or I just catch myself and I'm in fear about the future, or I'm in, you know, fear about the past, and or if I'm in, it's usually fear based, you know. I just catch myself, I watch it, and I my constant go-to is just, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. And then I could turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And it's really just that simple. It's just like breathing in and breathing out. I was sitting at practice a few minutes ago, and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, fancied or real, these resentments, I think my ex-husband is judging me because I'm on the phone during practice or son's hockey practice. And like, that's probably, he's probably thinking about his own life, you know, nothing. Anyway, so fancy to real, immediately in that thought, I could just say, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. So that's just an example of how my step 10 is constant. Like, otherwise I'm just like crazy and delusional. And it could just be something as simple as that. And then I could just be brought back into the presence and to reality and to like the moment of where I'm at my son's hockey practice, I'm on your beautiful workshop, you know, everything is okay. And that's, for me, that's like living in the world of the spirit. And it also doesn't, I could do step 10 anytime. It doesn't have to be when I'm at step 10 through the steps, or when I'm fully recovered. Say when I was in my eating disorder, I was doing step 10 throughout the day, you know, while I was engaging in behaviors, you know, because I never knew that I could have God with me all of the time, and that God wants to help me, and I could have conscious contact with God while I'm struggling. Like, who knew? I thought I had to be perfect and recovered in order to have this access to God and for God to help me and for God to love me. And it's like, God, no, God will love me exactly right where I'm at, no matter what. And step 10 is for constantly. It's for every moment. It's for when I'm, you know, feeling on top of the world, and it's for when I'm feeling like super low. It's just always accessible. And then I could feel the spirit of God, you know, speak to me as I continue this practice in moments that are challenging, you know, then I'll just get this pause. And it's not like a conscious pause. It's just like a knowing. And then I'll just have guidance of words or something, or I can just like watch it with God. And I'm not so reactive, and I'm not so, you know, bristly and like triggered by everything and everyone. So I don't know. I'm just really grateful that, you know, I learned how to do step 10 through the Big Book Awakening, because it's changed my life, you know, where I can be free no matter what. So thanks.
Thanks so much. Who would like to share? Who's practiced step 10? Who had any epiphanies about it? We were supposed to do a step 10 partner. I said last week, for everyone, if they could, to share their step 10 at the end of each day with someone. There are people that do that, just have step 10 buddies. You know, it's not in the Big Book, but it can be helpful. And so I suggest this week that you, every night, talk to someone about your nightly review on step 11. Okay. Because just to get you in the practice, and it can be very helpful. Who would like to share? Mariana? I know that you're sharing with someone every night. How did it go?
Yes, great. I have been, I'm Mariana, and I'm an alcoholic and a food addict. And I have not practiced step 10 as much as I have since Sunday. I've done more step 10s in the last few days than I've done in all these years. And I love it. I just love it. And I've been doing it every day with Evie. And it's just been a brilliant experience. And so I've been making amends as well this week and last week. And so every time I've had a bit of a fear about some of the amends, I've just done a step 10 and, you know, turn my thoughts to somebody else. And that's incredible. It really works. Like, just turning my thoughts to other people. I love what I'm getting. I love the way you shared in step 10, Tyler. Just, it really brings it alive, and it brings it to a depth. It's like, why would I not be doing this? This is so powerful. Why would I not be doing this? And I love the way that everybody else has shared tonight on step 10 and about how God is becoming so important in my life. And I can see that I have no power. Like, my power has got me to the point where I was suicidal without a drink, suicidal and just so unwell, and today I just feel so much better than I've ever done, I think, in my life, actually. And that's come from like putting the work into this. And, you know, in the Big Book Awakening, when it talks about the no thought and effort, and that's been done, all our thought and effort's been done through steps 4 to 9. And then here we are in step 10, and these, my life is just like flowing. And as long as I'm connected to God, it seems to be like just flowing, and it's so much easier than it ever was. So there's a person that keeps coming up in my head. She's been coming up all day in my head that I need to go and sort things with. And there's a bit of me that's reluctant to do it. And then I remind myself, like, well, why would I not do this? Why would I not sort this? It's time to let it all go. So sometimes I don't know what I'm sharing. But anyway, I love what I'm getting in this. I love what I'm getting. I love what God's doing in my life and the connection with God. And I love that he's bringing people into my life that I'm now sponsoring. And I feel like I have depth and weight I feel like I have complete depth and weight of a message that I can share with people that I never had before. So the last, you know, like the last year and a half has been really very challenging and very exciting. And the workshop is just, it's been like the icing on the cake. It's just brought it all together. And I just love that. And I love you. And I love everyone that's at this meeting. And I love that we all share together. So thanks very much for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Mariana. Who would like to share? Please either raise your hand or unmute. Who works step 10? Come on, you guys. What the heck? Is anyone working step 10 here?
Yeah, I'm working step 10.
You go, Fernando.
Okay, my name is Fernando. I'm an alcoholic. And Tyler, what a wonderful presentation on step 10 on. I got to learn so much more. I have so many notes that I took down. And you know what? I don't know if it was Helen. I'm going to use, no, Donna's. How do you practice Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. How do you get to God? Practice, practice, practice. And I'm going to use that one just because I love that so much. It's sticking in my head right now. But for me, the 10th step, you know, what you said was so important because I have to share my truth and my experience on this step 10, especially the obsession to drink didn't come in the form of a drink. After 16 years, it came in the form of her, of the affair. It came in the form of, how can I make more money? Do X amount of things to make more money. And this is all in sobriety. This is all in bona meetings. So what I learned today is like you guys have been talking about all along. I love what you said right here. Oh my God, where did I just drew a blank spot. There it goes. What's the purpose? What is the proper use of God, of the will? Using God's will. And for so long, I used Fernando's will. And today, you know, I love that I have, it says, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Today, my past is really cleaned up really, really well. There's a few things that I spoke about last night that are financial amends, but everything else seems to be going right in God's, the way God wants it to be. You know, and I've never had my life so clean. I never had such a clean slate in my life. I've always had to come from corners and angles and lies. And the little white lies, believe me, those little white lies turn into great big white lies. And may not take you out right away, but it took me out right away. And it took 16 years to take me out. And everything was waiting just the way Dr. Silkworth said. It's all there waiting for me. The progression, the physical allergy, everything just came back with a vengeance. And I ended up in the hospital 3 times. I don't want that today. I really don't. What I have today through BBA is amazing. You know, I don't know who said it earlier, but the relationship that I have with God, which I've never had before, and this God that not that I can run from, but I can, who loves me, who loves you, who I've never thought it would ever love me because I didn't love myself. I hated myself, you know, and I'm going to finish up with the last thing. And it says, the measure of my behavior, I love that love and tolerance is my code. So today, you know what? I don't know about you, Joe, but me being new in the position at the store, I'm just like, you know what? Okay, how do I measure my behavior with other team members? How do I measure my behavior with other people who don't have a program, you know, society? And customers who don't have a program, but I have a program. I have to measure my code by what God wants me to be. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernando. Who would like to share? Kylie, you want to share?
Sure, Kylie Alcoholic. I will say, like, I feel kind of embarrassed about my step 10 because the only part of it that I feel like I'm really rigorous with is making the amends when I harm people. I feel like I'm really good at that, but like watching for fear, I don't know, like I probably do it, but I don't think about it. And I don't, like, when I read all that stuff in step 10, I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot of stuff. I don't think I'm doing most of it. And so that's why I didn't volunteer to share. But You know, what I do love about just being reminded to make amends on a daily basis, because I think me personally, I would do step 9 and be like, cool, I'm done. You know, I'm not thinking about that again. And I love that it really invites me to continue that process. And one thing I really love about it is how other people respond to that. I think that of everything in this program that has ever been a gift to me, what I feel so privileged to see is how people respond to somebody trying to live an honest life, you know. And it's just so funny to me that, like, we're the people that are giving people that experience. Like how did that happen, you know? Like, so I was meeting Jan to work out at the beach on 4th of July, and I scratched somebody's car, and it was the smallest scratch ever. And, you know, a couple years ago, I would have been like, whatever, you know, let me wipe that down a little bit and be on my little way. But I left a note for her, and I was like, hey, you know, I scratched your car. Here's my phone number. You know, give me a call. And they decided it was $2,000 worth of damages. I couldn't believe it. And it was like a scratch. But she called me that night, and she was like, hey, are you Kylie? And I was like, yeah. She said, I can't believe people like you even exist in this world. She's like, I am so moved. Like, I am so touched by that. I can't believe that somebody in this day and age would leave a note with their phone number. And, like, she was like, I'm going to make this as easy for you as possible. I'm going to go to a bunch of places and find the cheapest, you know, fix for it. And, like, she drove around to 5 places in Santa Barbara to, you know, and she was telling me too, she was like, you know, the funny thing is I literally just got my car back out of the shop yesterday because somebody had hit it. So it was really cool. And I over and over and over again, when I make those amends, like, I feel like other people just are so changed by that. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day about this. And one of the other things that I feel like is a harm that a lot of people let slide and don't really see as a harm, even in my friend group who are like pretty spiritual, accomplished people, is like talking about other people when they're not in the room, or just like letting things kind of slide. And that's really been something recently that, as far as step 10 goes, that I'm becoming more rigorous with as well. And it's super uncomfortable. Like, I've had to, Helen and I were talking about how, like, when we talk about other people, we're disconnected from God, because that's not God-like behavior. Like, and like, God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, like, hey, this kid is better than that kid, and this one's, you know, should be this way, and that one's wrong for that. Like, that's just not how God is. And so, you know, recently with a lot of my friends, I've been really making that amends, because it's a harm to me, it's a harm to my friends, and it's a harm to the people that are being talked about. And I've been really trying to let people know, like, hey, it's not okay with me for you to talk about other people when I'm here. And, like, my friends are having a birthday party for me on Friday, and I thought about this earlier today. I was like, when I walk in that room, I'm gonna tell them, you know what I want for my birthday? I don't want you to talk about anyone who's not here, like, for the rest of the night. And, like, so that's just something that, it's kind of like, gossip is kind of insidious, and I feel like it's something that is just really present for me right now, in terms of, like, how can I clean that up from my past? How can I clean it up in the present? And how can I just, like, have a better community around me by living this program? And it just, you know, I'll end with this. Like, it just never ceases to amaze me how people respond to when we do this. So that was longer than I thought it was going to be, considering I don't feel like I work this step at all. But thanks for listening.
Thanks, Kylie. Who would like to share?
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vanessa.
Thanks so much, Tyla. And sorry I stepped away from the screen for a second. I had to pee. But I just wanted to say thanks, Tyla, for a couple of things really stood out to me tonight. One was, I like how specific you were when you were talking about, you read the sentence like, my next function is to grow in understanding of God's will and effectiveness in carrying out God's will. And I just really like the specificity of that. That really helped me a lot. And I also really loved the, how you were talking about, when I fight anything or anyone, a drink is beneath that. And I love that too. And like, that's where I'm headed, you know, if I do that. So those really, really stuck out to me today. And then just listening to everyone too, I was thinking about how much this step has really, I mean, all the steps, of course, but the way I think about the 10th step and the way I've been working it lately, like in the past year and a half, is really, it brings me back to God is everything. Like, because I am really practicing the presence of God in my every moment. And because of that, like, I have to, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, like practicing the presence of God. And like, what does that mean on a daily basis? And to me, it means the acknowledgement, you know, so I'm calling God and I'm turning, right? We're watching like all of it. So anytime my thoughts are going, like I'm God, you know, I just say it out loud. I'm like, God, look at what's going on in my head. Take it, you know? And like, my God's funny. So we like mess around, right? But like, you know, it's that call. I have to call. Like, because, and that's me watching all day long. And I feel like this is the step that really helped me kind of take that last, you know, leap or step from, you know, bridge of reason to shore of faith. I always think of like Indiana Jones, which is totally dating me, but like there's a scene where he like sprinkles sand across to see that there's a bridge, you know, and it's like just having that faith that like the next step there will be a bridge, you know, or there will be ground underneath me, and that is God. So yeah, I really connected with all of that tonight. So thank you so much. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Who would like to share? Jan, you want to share?
Yeah, I can share. Everybody, my name is Jan. I'm alcoholic and an addict. And thank you so much, Tyla. Mm-hmm. It's always such a pleasure hearing you read from the book and share your experience. It's such a gift. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm really grateful for Big Book Awakening because it really outlined the mechanics of a 10th step for me and really broke down those five things that I can do every single day to kind of stay clear. And, you know, it just works so well. You know, it's such a spiritual tool that I lean on a lot. And I'm grateful that I was told to read these pages, because at first they weren't really making sense to me. And then, you know, over time, they start to make more sense. I start to have experiences with it. And then it becomes a working part of my mind where like I'm going through my day and like I'll start hearing lines from those pages in my head, you know, and it's really beneficial for me. And at first I wouldn't always catch it right away, you know, but then there was an experience I had a few years ago where I had a phone call from my then boss at the time, and he really pissed me off, and I was feeling really resentful and fearful. And my knee-jerk reaction at first was to like, oh, I need to go shopping, or I need to go eat some crappy food, or I need to go hit up a dating app or like something. Like that was my initial reaction, you know, looking for the external. Thankfully, it wasn't drugs, but, you know, it was these, you know, those little termites, like Joe was saying, that I could have leaned into. And then, you know, luckily I was, or, you know, thankfully I was given the guidance to go back to this 10-step practice. And, you know, first thing I did was pray about it, you know, and then I shared it with somebody else. I looked at myself and my actions and wanted to see if I had any amend that I needed to make. And then, you know, I turned my thoughts to somebody else that I can help. And it's not even necessarily that I have to take action with it. I can just turn my thoughts and be thinking about somebody else. If I can get into action, all the better, you know? And so doing that day, within 30 minutes, I felt better, you know, and I was pretty, you know, heated. I was fuming, and, you know, this stuff really does work. And it's just such a useful tool that I'm really just so blessed to have, you know, this wisdom of these mechanics that I can take to keep myself clear and connected. And, you know, there's so many parts of this section of the book that I love, and, you know, sections of this this these pages that I bring into my prayer life, you know, like carrying a vision of God's will into all of my activities. You know, that's a prayer I say every morning, you know, and then the promises are just so amazing. And I remember the first time that I experienced the promises of the 10th step, really just, I mean, I'm sure there were some that I experienced before, but this is the first time where I was just really struck with it. And I was about 2 years sober. It was a New Year's Eve and I'd gone out partying. I'd gone out for the first time with people that were not in the program. And I was in PB, which is like a party town in San Diego, for those that aren't in this area. And, you know, I was up to like 6 a.m. hanging out with people that were drinking and using cocaine. And it was such a trip to be in that situation and have people pass me a plate of cocaine and for me to be in that position of neutrality and be able to say, and there wasn't any resistance, like wasn't like I was fighting it, you know, I was just able to be like, no, I'm not. And they kept passing it to me too, because they were all drunk and high. So they kept forgetting that I would tell them no. And I was able to, you know, tell people what I did. You know, I told them I ran a sober living. I told them about what I do in my life. And one of the guys asked for help and was kind of sharing, like confiding in me. And I remember the next day, you know, the sun was coming up and I was standing on this, you know, person's deck or like porch. And, you know, I just got struck with this feeling of being safe and protected and being held by God. And just like, I'll never forget that moment for the rest of my life. And that was one of the first times that I really felt that warm embrace of God, you know, in my heart, in my mind, in my consciousness. And I was just like, wow, this is real. You know, this is real. And it's all thanks to putting forth the diligence to do this stuff on a daily basis and practice and continue to do it. And so, you know, I just really take this thing seriously, and I see so many people slip away mm-hmm. from it. And, you know, I have my sponsees do a nightly review with me. I do 10 and 11 together, and then we do a nightly review together every single night. And I'll often, you know, call them a few months down the line and ask them how they're doing. And they oftentimes are falling off with it, you know. And I'm so grateful, because I just had a sponsee hit me up earlier this week, and he's like, hey, man, I want to get back on my 11-step review. Can I start calling you every night? And I was like, you don't know how happy I am to hear you, because I'm usually the one calling. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's on my, you know, bedside table, but I haven't opened the book in weeks, you know. And so it's just such a wonderful practice that we were gifted, and it's changed my life. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Jan. Who would like to share?
I'll share. Hi, my name is Veronica, and I have a lot of experience with the with Step 10, and this is my first time working it. When I first started Step 10, I think it was back in June, and my sponsor gave me a book, The Rippling Effect, Drop the Rock. I had already read Drop the Rock for the 6th and the 7th step, but The Rippling Effect talked about how our character defects can have a rippling effect on other people, you know. And in reading that book, what that book helped me to see was how the things that I said and how I acted, you know, whether I was kind or going through something and took it out on somebody else or things like that, how it can have an effect on that other person and me not knowing what they're going through. They may have just lost a child, or, you know, may have lost a husband or something. And me saying that, you know, they might go out and have a car accident or something like that, you know. It just helped me to be more patient in the store when the little old lady is counting out pennies. You know, when I call places, like, you know, about my phone bill or, you know, things like that, to realize that the person I'm talking to is not the one who makes the rules. You know, it just helped me to be a lot kinder and more considerate, you know. And then I was just looking back at my phone as to when I started turning in a nightly inventory. And I have an app called the 12-Step Toolkit, Spiritual Toolkit, and it has nighttime inventory on it. And I've been turning this in. I say I've missed, like, this week I didn't do it at all. I just did not do it at all. And that's, you know, something else. But before this week, I think I missed 4 nights. I've been doing this since July 30th, 2020. And I was really good at doing my inventory at night and really going over my day and thinking about how my day went. And the questions I was asked was, were we resentful? Were we selfish? Were we dishonest? Were we afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? And the last question is, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? And so that helped me get a lot closer with God, you know, and thinking about what I could do for others, you know. And I work with people who are unsheltered. I saw unsheltered neighbors, you know, and I serve food and I make coffee the way they want, you know, and this step has helped me want to just do better. And I pray about my character defects. And then I guess what happened is that I was turning it in my sponsor every night. And I guess I had a day where I really had not felt the day prior resentful. I wasn't angry at anyone. I would just go up and say, was I resentful? Was I like, no. You know, a lot of times I had really great days. I didn't feel I was selfish in any kind of way or in fear. I think her comment was that, you know, I forget exactly what she said, but it was something to the effect of, you know, when we go through the day, we're bound to have, you know, to be selfish or resentful or something to that effect. And I felt like that I was doing it wrong. You know, I said, well, I didn't feel I was resentful. I didn't feel I was selfish. So I didn't feel angry. I just had a great day. And I don't know. I just stopped doing it. I just kind of shut down. So
thank you.
That's my experience.
Thank you. Okay, that's all the time we have. We're going to wrap up the workshop. My suggestion is that you get a step partner, maybe the one you've done the work with before, and do every night talk about the nightly review. The nightly review in step 11 is, it's step 11 starts with the nightly review because it is reviewing the day to see how well I carry the knowledge of God's will into all my activities. That's what the nightly review is about, to pick up things I may have not caught in my 10th step. So if you're willing to read the questions with someone on the phone, you don't have to write them out and just talk about your day, I think you'll have an effective experience. And does anyone have any questions? Okay, you guys. Well, next week is 11 and the following week is working with others. So we're getting close to the finish line. That's it. Who would like to pray us out with step 7? I mean, the 7 step prayer. Someone got a book, can pray us out.
I can do it.
Thank you, Jan.
My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
Amen. Thank